Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the various folks who live in tunnels or build tunnels. Some of you live so deep below the surface of the Earth, you don't even know what the sunlight is. You were born to a cruel, cruel lowercase god. Good morning to the woodsmen and their wives and their families. Good morning to the townsfolk keeping the fire lit. Good morning to the torchbearer marching out into the desert, bringing forth truth, looking for booty. It's January the 10th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. It's right around 2:20 a.m. and it's Friday. It's Friday, baby. We went back to work this week after, I don't know, some type of holiday party. And now we know that Papa Blump is going to be in charge, the Orange King. He's got the swing. He's from Jersey. You don't need to worry, because things are about to get real fucking lit. That's right. These are your project team contacts, Autopat, King Promoter, Misha Bravely, Best Promoter, Tim, Nib, Buzz, Dougie, Big, Craig, Lart, oh yeah, Minge, don't forget about Minge, and then there's Aztec, and then there's Pulimriari, and then there's Hawk Maguabe. These are your project team contacts, you fucks, and their emails are in the notes. Make sure they stay on target. Tim, you know, and the whole team, I have approval for $4.5 million in capital spend. Let's set up our first conference call, you know, John. Listen, the big guy is sitting on $4.5 to $7 million and is ready to spend. So someone better get back to me, right, you know? Hey, all. The main office is upping the capital spend by 50%. That means we could easily net $8.4 million each. Reach out to me, baby. I know you're out there on the team. We have approval from corporate and a preliminary budget outlay of $400,000 per month. This means we can hire SEO experts. Please begin coordinating with each other. Let's make some money, okay? This is Bob. We just got budget for a huge SEO spend. It's related to our Breed Your Seed marketing campaign directed at bitter old women between the ages of 47 and 59. Please feel free to email each other. This is going to be fun, Bob. Let me drink some coffee here, sacred coffee. We will have our first project management budgeting meeting next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Please let your teams know, Bob. Hey, are you ready for the meeting next week? Yes, can we chat here and discuss about your channel first so as to know what your channel's really lacking? What? I thought you were in on the conference call last week. We're talking about Rumble, Freckles. We're talking about your channel that have low followers and engagement, likes, comments, etc. And also realize you lack SEO. Oh, boy. What? Nah. It's about the rollout, buddy, you know? Can you give me your Rumble channel link, okay? So as to take a look, sir. And I want to know the purpose you created a Rumble channel. So, did you not go to the kickoff meeting? Can you explain what that means? If I have to explain what that means, we're already streets behind. Well, to make this shot, you actually have a Rumble account of 66 followers. And I guess I post a comment on your video, which you are lacking and which I'm here to solve. Did you get Carl's email about the trade show? No. Instead, you message me directly, asking on how you can elevate your channel on Rumble. I think you need to read Carol's email first, buddy. Send me the email if you don't mind. Well, that's not our policy for this virtual organization. Yeah, it seems I now understanding, eh? Are you trying to tell me Carl's the owner of Rumble Channel? No. Carol needed to talk to you about Phil. Okay, no problem. Then I will doing the Zoom meetings. You'll find out about that next week at the meeting. When are we doing the Zoom meetings? You'll find out at the meeting next week, buddy. Can you tell me which day so I will be able to know how to schedule my time? You have to email Dave about that. Okay, provide me the contacts. Well, I gave you your primary contacts. It's Expat, it's King Promoter, it's Misha Bravely, it's Best Promoter, it's Tim, it's Nahibahab, it's Buzz, it's Dougie, it's Big, it's Craig, it's Lart, it's Minge. You know it's a lot of fucking ass. It's Paulinala Blah Blah Blom and Hawk Maguabe. Okay, no problem. Our dev leader just let me know that if we meet our deadlines, there will be 100,000 bonuses all around. So let's get it done, Bob. Great, what's the update? We're already, 3 days behind schedule. And most of the sub-teaming isn't even completed yet. You guys gotta get going if you want to get paid, Bob. We're working on it. How much progress? I want reports hourly. It'll be done today. Oh, I hope so, man. Awesome. Thanks for the update. Listen, buddy. You're gonna get fired if you don't change your fucking attitude. So yeah, I've been thinking a lot about strategies for dealing with certain types of things that I'm not going to talk about. Because the problem with talking about strategies, if you're in a certain kind of situation, and I know, Dan, you're being awfully vague, yeah, you think? But I have developed a strategy, and I think it's working. And the best part about it is that there really is no workaround. And so I'm kind of hoping that dark cloud that Anna Banana sent my way, 6-7 weeks ago, that I've managed to turn it into a white star, sending out pulses of gamma rays at everybody on that growing project team list. You'll get updates hourly. Probably surgical dick pics too. Next topic, bark and grunt. This is an article from the Daily Mail. It was published April of 2023. And the headline is, why do the most inbred family in America bark and grunt? Experts say level 3 autism might be the cause. This was written by Mansur Shaheen, deputy health editor for the DailyMail.com. A documentary that revealed the most inbred family in the country rocked America this week, shining a light on the taboo practice still quietly being practiced in remote parts of the nation. The Whitaker family from Odd, West Virginia, are so inbred that many members have clear mental disabilities and cannot properly speak. Danny Ray Whitaker, who goes by Ray, can only communicate via grunts and barks. While information about the secluded family is limited, it is speculated that he is suffering from nonverbal level 3 autism. One of the twins married... Okay, I don't want to read this crap about marrying cousins. You know what? If you want to read this article, you can. I was at work yesterday, and a student mentioned this, and it was like... It seemed too insane. And I didn't really want to read the article. There is a family tree. It makes me think about that. You know, if I just say, you remember that X-Files episode? Listen, if you are about my age, you know, maybe between the age of, let's say, 40 and 60, if you're roughly in that window, you might remember that X-Files episode. You know the one I'm talking about. From the 1990s, maybe 94, 95, I don't really fucking care. You remember that X-Files episode? You know the one I'm fucking talking about? You know the one where, you know, yeah, mom's on wheels. And listen, that episode of X-Files, this family tree actually looks diverse. Because the X-Files family tree from that episode was pretty much a straight line, I think. And that's really fucking crazy. Kind of like the royal families of Europe. You know, or certain other families. People of power. And you can see the mark. But this is a terrible story. Terrible, terrible story. Not worth it. Hey, more on the Greenland miracle about Trump. There's this Eric Prince interview that was posted on Zero Hedge, I think yesterday. Eric Prince, he's an interesting guy. You should research him on your own. I'm not a big fan, but maybe you are. Here's a headline from Zero Hedge that we can look at as Sovietologists. Nation state adoption to drive Bitcoin growth. Fidelity Digital sees new era for crypto in 2025. We may be entering the dawn of a new era for digital assets, one poised to span multiple years, if not decades. Nation-state adoption. Government control. But how is that decentralized, and how is there no third party? It's funny, because that's been the fucking peer-to-peer bullshit in the Bitcoin world for a decade plus. Well, Dan, you don't need a third party. Well, it seems like a lot of them that popped up. Dan, government can't do nothing. Huh, seems like they've been doing something. And, you know, Satoshi, whoever the fuck he is, might be a Navy SEAL. But unless he's a magic man, at this point, I think that's bullshit too. Probably not a Navy SEAL. Probably not a person who has those skills to stay hidden this fucking long. Decentralized. Nation state adoption, you know, yeah. Okay, this is an alert, and this is a critical alert. I need to alert you. If you're not already alerted, you need to know something. KFC has been a part of our American traditions for many, many fucking years. Many fucking people, day in and day out, eat at KFC religiously. I mean it. Do they really know what they are eating? During a recent study of KFC done at a university, the University of New Hampshire, they found out something very upsetting, some facts you need to know. First of all, has anybody noticed that just recently the company has changed their name? Kentucky Fried Chicken has become KFC. Does anybody know why? We thought the real reason was because of the fried food issue. It's not. It's really not. The reason why they call it KFC is because they cannot use the word chicken anymore. Why? KFC does not use real chickens. They actually use genetically manipulated organisms. These so-called chickens, or cromulacs, are kept alive by tubes and wires and other types of electric motors inserted into their bunctus, inserted into their bodies, to pump blood and nutrients, to remove decay and death. They put the death in the barrel, and they send it to Fresno. They have no beaks. They have no feathers. And no feet. No brain with which to dream. No life with which to scheme. Their bone structure is dramatically shrunk to get more meat out of them, huh? This is great for KFC because they don't have to pay so much fucking money for production costs. There's no plucking of the feathers. There's no removal of beaks and feet. The government has told them to change all their menus so they don't say chicken anywhere. If you look closely, you'll notice this. Listen to their commercials. I guarantee you, you'll not see or hear the word chicken. I find this matter to be very disturbing. I hope people start to realize this and let other people know. Please forward this message to 10 or 20 or 100 contacts on your fucking email list. Together, we can make KFC start using real fucking chicken again. And why not direct this campaign next towards Panda Express? As I've told you, brothers and sisters, when I was a little boy, there was a Panda Express in our town. It was the 1970s, and it was disco fever, and, you know, skyrockets in flight, afternoon delight. You know what I fucking mean. Some of you were born because of that fucking song. And our parents would load up the station wagon, and I'd sit in the back in the little cubby. You know the spot where they chisel out the bodies, because ain't nobody going to survive a car wreck in 1975. Our moms and our dads would truck us downtown. We would hear the beat of the Bee Gees as we walked through the door. The first thing you would see at old style Panda Express was a little plastic jungle with little baby pandas. And you'd get to look through the window and point your dirty finger in some nasty way. You'd pick your panda. You'd say, I want that one. And the attendant would pick that panda and put it, you know, through whatever process they have in the back. They don't want to show you the whole picture. And then out comes the carcass, stripped of fur, stripped of all the beaks and the feet, just like you do with the chickens, KFC. And they'd put the little panda on a spit, and they would cook it properly. They would chop it up so you could have General Tso's panda, sweet and sour panda, Mongolian fucking panda, Szechuan panda. All of it really healthy. All of it gave you the energy to finish your day in style. Why can't it be like it used to be? Right? Next topic, Dan. So there's a lot of fallout from the LA fires, which again is a evolving story, as they say in the media. And already they're telling us that the cost of the LA fires is going to be like, what, $150 billion? That it could end up being the worst natural event, catastrophe, slash whatever, in terms of cost in American history. Worse than Katrina. But keep in mind, $150 billion ain't what it used to be. So when we compare Katrina to the LA thing, we probably should look at the deflator, inflator issues. But yeah, let's play pretend and pretend we're Alan Greenspan and hamburger is steak. The LA story's evolving. Now, I am a fan of James Woods as an actor. One of my favorite movies, Videodrome, is a James Woods film. I'm not a gigantic fan of his political takes. That's okay. You know, I can like somebody for their acting and not really give a shit about what they believe. And it's not that all of his takes are bad. It's just that, you know, how can I put it? I'm kind of beyond the voting bullshit at this point. But it turns out that his mansion got hit. And who knows why? Lots of reasons. Lots of blame storming. The event isn't even over yet, and people are already blame-storming. Day one, it was the hobos. Day two, it was the fire chief. Day three, right? It's like, you know, hobos and the fire chief and the mayor. Everybody's responsible except for nobody's responsible. And people pretend that the West Coast hasn't been in a drought for about two decades. Despite all the theatrical atmospheric rivers, we're still in a fucking drought. I'm sorry. Next I'll have to explain to you the difference between the debt and the deficit. Most of you fuckers don't know the difference. What you need to know is that the overall water debt is huge on the West Coast, okay? Sometimes the deficit changes because of a magical Raytheon Lockheed atmospheric river. But in reality, yeah, the West Coast has been in a drought. When you have droughts, you have fires. And if your answer is, well, we'll just cut down all the trees, you go ahead and do that, you fuck. But accept the fact that will have consequences too. And you can kill all the hobos. I would prefer you not do it to save your own soul. But yeah, if you think the problem is hobos, you can destroy the hobos. If you think the problem's electric cars, you can dump them in the fucking ocean. If you think it's because people don't take care of their vehicles, you can put them in fucking jail. Is it the drunks smoking cigarettes? Is it the crackheads doing crack? Is it a magical U.S. Air Force plane with a laser cannon, Dan, using its beam weapon to set fires? You know, folks, you believe whatever limited hangout bullshit you want to believe at this point. Just like my project team, they can believe that there's millions of this and millions of that, that there's a Phil or a Carol. I don't fucking care. But what I think is this: there's a terrible catastrophe in LA, and the only thing I can tell you that will probably help is prayer. Pray. Pray for these people. Pray for Mr. Woods. You know, I don't agree with his perspectives on everything, but fuck. losing things, losing a house for somebody, especially when you get to a certain age, probably. I wouldn't know. I don't own a house. But it's not just the building. It's all the stuff inside, the stuff that is the ephemera, the stuff that makes up memories. That stuff is irreplaceable. So pray for LA, but don't get caught up in the blame storming, because that's really fucking stupid right now. Really stupid. Oh boy, Trump envoy to join Gaza ceasefire. So many fucking miracles. So many fucking Trump miracles. He's bringing peace and love and Bitcoin. He's going to have the SR-72, and Maverick, aka Tom Cruise, is going to fly it to kill Putin. And all of this will happen. All of this will happen before the inauguration, right? So fucking crazy. It is insane. I don't know what else to tell you. All these miracles that Trump did after the election. Brothers and sisters, if you need this to get through the day, I drink beer. I listen to music. I do things that are healthy, but I do a lot of things that are unhealthy just to get through the fucking day. If you need to believe that Trump is going to save you to get through the fucking day, I get it. I don't think it's healthy. But then some of you fuckers will send me an email saying, Dan, why don't you live a healthier life, Mega? And all I can tell you, Mega Man, is you're just as fucking drunk as I am most days, probably more. And you don't fucking drink. So many miracles. Oh, but here's the deal. Another headline. You remember, the miracles have to be offset, right? Because you're managing people's brains here. Headline, Trump inherits a deeply damaged economy. Oh my God. Oh my God. He can't do nothing. File under he can't do nothing. It's all talk. Trump accuses Biden of sabotaging smooth transition. Oh, he can't do nothing. Trump won't be able to do nothing. He can do miracles, though. But it turns out that if he can't do nothing as president, but he can do miracles before the inauguration, as I said yesterday, why the fuck do you vote? It seems like Trump could just go do a bunch of fucking miracles, and he doesn't need to run for president. On the other hand, this could all be a bunch of fucking bullshit. Next topic. But Dan, Trump can't do nothing. I know, I know. It's kind of like the KFC thing, right? I mean, ultimately... ultimately, we'll never know. We'll never know the truth about KFC or old-style Panda Express. But like all limited hangouts, if you've got common sense and logic, you should be able to figure it out. And if you're looking for the microplastics, the poison, if you're looking for how they're salting the earth, it's not with vaccines or monkeys having sex with pigs in China. It's the shit that's falling out of the sky every fucking day. It's called fallout. It's called chemical warfare. But ultimately, it's geoengineering. And if you can't see it at this point, then boy, I don't want to tell you, you need to think more about these fucking Trump things. They'll tune you up and turn you on. All the miracles. And then when you become disappointed, they're explaining to you, so you can embed it unconsciously, he can't do nothing. Don't blame Trump. He can't do nothing. Remember 2020? Trump couldn't do nothing when it really fucking mattered for something to, you know, to do something. Right? For someone who supposedly is protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States of America, 2020 was a moment for a mega man to do the right fucking thing. But instead, he gaslit you, and he gaslit me. And then he played pretend he couldn't do nothing. And then a lot of you fucking idiots went to Washington, D.C. on January... Yeah. fucking January the 6th, 2021, and others of us said it's bullshit. It's a limited hangout. It's Fed controlled. And if you're going to go there, go the Eccles building or go to fucking Langley or go the Pentagon. But why the fuck are you going to the House of Representatives or the Senate, the Capitol? They can't do nothing. They literally can't do nothing, you dumb fucks. At least I'm not using the R word. So believe what you need to believe at this point, brothers and sisters. Believe that Trump is doing miracles. If you need to believe that, believe that he's going to buy and or invade Greenland and take back the Panama Canal. If you need to believe this shit, go ahead. If you think he's going to collect guns and that, you know, inspires you to go to Cabela's, do it, whatever. That's your drug. But what I ask, especially for the random shitheads that do turn out to be real, is that if you come up to me on your day of disillusionment and say to me, why didn't somebody say something? Then I guess I'll say to you, well, I guess I can't do nothing, right? I don't have freedom of reach, but I do have freedom of breach. I can figure out your deal, Mr. Navy SEAL. Anyways, it's Friday. It's almost 3 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. Friday, January the 10th, 2025. This is going to be a crazy fucking year. Crazier than last year. And I hate to shock you, but the natural disasters that occur this year will dwarf L.A. L.A. will be nothing, and that still won't be the crescendo. But yeah, I think you can wager that if L.A. just cost us $150 billion, remember Maui? I mean, there are so many examples, not just Appalachia. I forget the town in Mexico last year that got nuked by some random, rapidly developing hurricane. But there are lots of places, many such cases, Spain, Germany, Switzerland, you name it, UK, where there's a lot of freaky bullshit happening, and it is only getting worse. And I don't know why. Do I believe Al Gore and little Greta Thunberg? No, I think they're paid clowns. I think the reason why the king pays a fucking clown is not to make a funny thing funnier. The king doesn't give a fuck if you laugh. In fact, the king would prefer if you were sad and angry and sat at home and watched CNN or Fox News. The king pays a fool to take an issue that might actually be serious and make it look really fucking stupid. Think about little Greta. Think about Al Gore. Think about all the celebrities that come out on the climate change tours, flying jets and eating steak and living on yachts and doing it in our face. It's a fucking joke. Do you think the king tells you a joke because the king wants you to fucking laugh, do you? It must be nice living in your fucking head. Now, the king is using the paid fools to take a real issue and make it look dumb as fuck. That's what you should be meditating on, brothers and sisters. So it is January the 10th, 2025. I don't do this often any longer because why? There's no point, but I'll do it this podcast. If you want to donate to my podcast, there's a link to PayPal. I don't know how much longer it's going to work. And then after that, there is no way to donate me money. Period. Forever. So if you want to donate money, you can, but keep in mind the following. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you donate to my fucking podcast, make sure your food, water, shelter situation is taken care of. if you're setting aside food for your family, like let's say 6 months worth because you're an optimist and you have a dog, a cat, a bat, a rat, you have a pet, but let's say dog, make sure you've got food set aside for your dog too. Especially that dog, because that dog, depending upon how you trained it and depending upon what kind of dog it is, might actually save your fucking life. So if you're setting aside food for your family, make sure you do it for your dog and do all this before you donate to my fucking podcast. If there are people in your life, I don't mean Facebook, I don't mean Twitter, I don't mean a random email person who you've never met. If there are real people in your life that need help, people you trust and people that need help, help them first before you donate to my fucking podcast. And last but not least, as crazy as shit has gotten since late 2019, and as crazy as shit's about to get, and it's not linear, it is discontinuous. And cascading and brutal. But as crazy as things might get, I still don't think it's the end of the world. I do think that we need to calibrate and perhaps recognize that 1945 to, let's say, the year 2001 was an exceptional period of time in American history. And even in that period of time, it wasn't all happy days and beach ball blanket bingo. There was a lot of other terrible bullshit too, but in economic terms, it was a special fucking time. That time is probably over. We have ripped off as much shit from the rest of the world as we can probably rip off without, you know, having a nuclear war. So I don't think it's the end of the world, but I do think things are about to get crazier than most people can imagine. And the LA fires are going to be in the rearview mirror, and they will seem halcyon and pastoral and banal by comparison, and probably by comparison in just a few months. And everything about Donald Trump screams he's not finishing the second term. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm calling that one. If you want to tell me I'm wrong in a few years, you can, but Trump is not finishing his term. I'm not threatening him. This is not a curse. This is a simple recognition that symbolically, in terms of his pathos and everything else, he doesn't represent the person that does that. He is meant to be a kind of tragic clown, and in a way, he's fulfilling his purpose so far. So I don't know for certain what happens next, but I'm pretty certain it's going to be fucking crazy, but also not the end of the world. Now, what does that mean? That means that if there are things right now that you value, things that you enjoy, that might not exist in a few months and might not exist for so long after that that it'll be your grandchildren that get to enjoy it again, then maybe you should go do some of those things right now. Enjoy them. It's not the end of the world, but a lot of shit is about to end. And that's the truth. That's the truth I'm telling you. I've been honest about this since 2019, and I'm telling you the truth. It's not the end of the world. A lot of shit is about to end. So if you want to go see a movie, I can't recommend one. If you want to go to a restaurant, they can be expensive. If you want to just go buy a steak, because they can be expensive, and cook it at home. If you want to spend some money on fuel to see a friend, do the things you can do right now that you might not be able to do in a few months, and that the next time anybody does them might be 50 to 100 years in the future. And that's your best case fucking scenario. But it's still not the end of the world. And even in times of chaos, there's joy. There's possibility. In fact, who knows what it looks like on the other side, but a lot of things that are normal, quote-unquote, that have been whittled away at since 2019 are going to disappear. So before you donate to my fucking podcast, try to enjoy some of this that you can enjoy ethically. While you can, right? Other than that, donate if you want to. If you've got everything you need, everything you want. Maybe you're a Texas trillionaire, soon to be a quadrillionaire, because, you know, that's how inflation works, right? If you're soon to be a Texas quadrillionaire and you want to, like, give me some of those quadrillions, You can, buddy, you can. January the 10th, 2025. It's good to keep these dates in our heads, really. Things are moving kind of crazy, kind of fast, and it's going to speed up. I've been consistent about this, and I get some troll emails, and I guess I want to end the podcast on this, but about what I see coming. And I have been very honest about this for the last 10 years, actually, in the following sense. This is what I see coming. And I don't have so much hubris that I think I'm ready for it. I'm not. I still have coffee. I still have coffee in a coffee cup that I could just go grab out of the kitchen. I still have the internet. I still have a lot of things that if they were to go away, would, whatever, be painful. But in reality, there's a lot of things that I can talk about abstractly that I've never experienced and I've never seen. Or another way of putting it, the horrors, the things that can and will and probably will happen, I can talk about them, but I will be as fucking shocked as you. Maybe more shocked. Some of you may have actually been kids in Yugoslavia back in the 1990s. You might have an idea. Some of you may have experienced being a child soldier in Africa. You might have some idea. Some of you may be ex-North Mexican, you know, Northern Mexican, Mexico. Northern Mexico cartel. You know, you may be Juarez faction. You might have some idea of what I'm fucking talking about. Some of you may inhabit one of these jungles. You know, it's a term of art. Every city in America has one now. Some of you may live in the jungle. Live in an encampment of hundreds, if not thousands, of homeless people. Periodically blamed for fires. Nobody really cares if you guys burn to death, though, do they? But periodically blamed for fires, periodically moved about and hustled, and, you know, blamed for every problem society has, to include the cost of housing. Some of you understand already, kind of, what's coming. A lot of you don't, including me. I can talk about it abstractly, but I will not pretend to be ready. I am not ready. I'm not. And I'm not talking about physically ready. That's absolutely the case. I mean psychologically. I do not want to see the things I expect to see. I do not want to experience the things I expect to experience. I don't want to be there on a day. And I remember thinking about this 10 years ago when I was working at Wolfram and Hart. If you know, you know. But when I was working at Wolfram and Hart 10 years ago, the thought that occurred to me, and this was when I realized all this shit was about 10 years away. Isn't it cool how numbers work? When I was working at Wolfram and Hart, I remember thinking, I don't want to be in a place like this on the day, that disappointing fucking day, when everything turns sideways. Because I've had little glimpses. I remember the layoffs at Rolls-Royce in October 2001. You know, after 9/11, I remember what happened. You know, Rolls-Royce, not the car company, the company that makes, you know, aircraft engines. Huh? I was laid off. It was no big deal. I didn't stress about it, but I remember seeing all those people walking out of the building with the boxes, and I was one of them. And I put the box in my Miata, and I drove back to my fashionable apartment. And I didn't stress out that much. It was what it was. I cannot tell you that I was either sad or happy. I remember thinking that it was just such a crazy time. And I think it was Halloween, actually. It was either the day before or it was Halloween Day, 2001. Yeah. And I remember going to the mall downtown Indianapolis. Going to the Circle Center Mall and seeing a movie. The movie was Jeepers Creepers. And it seemed appropriate, right? Seemed to fit. I can talk about these things just like I can read a book about the Eastern Front during World War II. You know, or you could read a book about Vietnam, but you were never there. Or somebody else could read a different book. And you can read a book and read a story or hear a podcast and you can try to get into the mind space of the storyteller. But at the end of the day, you've either experienced it or you haven't. There are things coming that very few people alive today have any understanding of. And there's no point in listing them because if you're a reasonably intelligent person, you already know the list. And these are things that you will experience and see. And you won't be able to unsee them. And what makes it all worse is if you're a Christian and you're familiar with your Bible, then you'll think in terms of things like, if this were to last too long, there'd be no flesh left alive. And that men and women die simply out of fear. I'm doing a little bit of the, you know, a la carte picking of the Bible with respect to prophecy, but you get the point. In the Bible, they talk about an age where things are so scary, people simply drop dead out of fear. In the Bible, they talk about a time when if the time lasted too long, there'd be nobody left alive. So if you're a Christian, yeah, it could be worse. If you're a reasonable person, as I've beaten the dead horse and I'll keep beating the dead horse, read A Distant Mirror by Barbara Tuchman and understand that best case scenario, the next 100 years will probably be at least an order of magnitude worse than the 14th century, and it'll be everywhere on planet Earth. And that's if we're lucky. Have a great Friday and a great fucking weekend.